Welcome to the Women and Wealth Podcast with Esther Szabo. Esther is a respected leader in the field of personal financial advice with over 25 years of experience. After going through her own significant and challenging life-changing events, she overcame fear and self-doubt to launch her own successful advisory firm. Now Esther is ready to share her practical and personal experiences to help other women clear their hurdles and brave life's transitions. In this way, she inspires women to lead fulfilling and confident lives.
Hello and welcome to Women and Wealth with Esther Szabo from Gates Pass Advisors. Good afternoon. No, wait, I'm kidding. Good morning, Esther. How are you?
I was going to say it's morning here.
I know. Last time you corrected me, so I had to mess with you a little bit.
I'm doing well. Eric, how are you? We're continuing on in this very unusual time.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to say it's fun, but it's not. It's not that fun. it's okay.
Hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it's enjoyable for certain things, but then stressful for other things, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. And I know that your mom has been living with you for a while now, right?
She has. She's been with us now. This is week 6, I think. And I will give an update because last podcast I was like, oh, the first half of the movie Oklahoma, which we're trying to find movies we can watch together. And the first half was like, oh, give me a break. But the second half was a lot more compelling. So I will give you that update. And I will also say that The Sound of Music still stands up so well. It's such a great family movie. And we've watched Oliver, which was like, meh, not so great. We just keep going back to these movies that were produced in the 50s and 60s. And we tried watching the one about The Rocket Man, about Elton John with her. And she was like, we looked up and she was walking back to her room. That did not hold her interest at all.
Like, I'm done.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we've been doing kind of the same thing with my daughter, taking her through some of the movies that we've enjoyed over the years. And there are two that we haven't gotten to yet because we know that we just have to be in that place for them. And one of them that she has not seen is Schindler's List. And the other one is A Beautiful Life, which both of those are unbelievably
powerful,
good movies, but very, very difficult to watch. And you've got to be ready for those. So, yeah, we're going to figure out a time when we can do that.
Yeah, I could see, like, Beautiful Mind.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
Being a little bit easier, but Schindler's List right now.
Yeah. A Beautiful Life, I think, is A Beautiful Life.
Oh, A Beautiful Life.
Yeah. So again, you mean Nazi Germany. Yeah.
Oh, that one with the one where he pretends that it's not, like, it's all a game.
Yep. The father.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a tough
one. Both of them that is hard. We also watched, what was the one? Unbreakable. That was really good. We watched that on Memorial Day.
That was really good. Yeah, that was a fantastic movie. Loved that. All right, this podcast is great so far.
Anyone tuning in, what does this have to do with women and wealth? I will say that one of the things with my mom that my mom has taught me over and over, being a woman of not wealth, one who, you know, she married my dad. They never had a financial plan at all together. He was very well paid for a period of time. And then he was an economist who was a forecaster in the commodities area and was really highly regarded for his ability to forecast the particular commodity of sugar and how much different countries should produce each year and at what price. Mm-hmm. And the commodities markets all fell apart in the early 70s. And ultimately, my parents lost everything. And my dad returned to his home country and left my mom. And, you know, here she is. Yeah. And here she is. That was in the, he left her in the mid 80s. So here we are, 35 years later or so. And my mom is kind of what a lot of people are, a lot of women fear. No, she doesn't have assets. She was able to buy a home again much later. You know, my parents had declared bankruptcy and she didn't have anything after that. And but she is incredibly resilient. I just am amazed at her resiliency to just say, okay, this is my life. What do I do? This is what I need to do, and how she is of service to others. And even now, coming to live with us, her attitude is really pleasant. And she will say, wait, what am I doing here? Mm-hmm. Why am I with you and not in my own apartment? And I go through and explain the coronavirus. I explain how if she was ill, we couldn't go see her. And she goes, okay, I don't want to get that. And I said, no, we don't. So you're here with us. And she navigates her day. She still wants to contribute. She's, again, 96 years old. She'll get up and say, no, you've been working all day. I watch you. I'm doing the dishes. And she will make her way through the dishes. The earlier this week, we changed her sheets, and she was like, woof, I'm exhausted after that. And she lay down and took a two-hour nap. But she just wants to participate. So yeah. I just love that, you know, there's not a lot of dollars in her net worth, but she is a shining example of resiliency and having a good attitude. And that's one of the silver linings of this really challenging pandemic, is having the opportunity to spend that extra time with family.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's fantastic. I know that this is very valuable time to you. And you and I have spoken before that I'm purposely taking every other Monday off to go fishing with my father. That's a good social distancing thing still. We're still kind of mm-hmm. in that mode. So it is a good time to focus on family and what's most important to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Those connections are critical.
All right, Esther, speaking of our time, what are we talking about today on today's podcast?
Well, we're just kicking off at the time of this recording. We're just heading into the second half of 2020. It's mm-hmm. early July. We had the July 4th holiday, which did feel a little odd this year, given there weren't official fireworks displays. And although I know it's really hard on the animals, I did miss fireworks displays. We have a good friend who is actually a lead pyrotechnic on a display, and he invites his friends, and he lets us in close. And it's really cool to see fireworks up close like that. But I do admit that I miss that. But I know also, I'm not sure if it was how it was up for you, but so many people reported huge amounts of fireworks going off in their neighborhood. Like it was a war zone. And we were talking to my stepdaughter, and you could hear it in the background, like bang, bang.
Yeah.
And really shocking. Was it like that in where you are?
Yeah, I was that guy. Sorry.
Oh, you were that guy.
I was that guy. Well, here's the thing, Esther. My mom's birthday is in March. We couldn't do anything, and mm-hmm. it didn't feel right to have a celebration and no gifts or anything. And then Mother's Day came and Father's Day came, and we were able to spend a little bit of time still kind of social distancing, want to keep them safe. And so my mom has loved fireworks since she was a little kid. And so I went a little overboard this year and spent a bit of money to give her the show that she deserved, you know, and that kind of, you know, for birthday, Mother's Day, Father's Day kind of thing. We had this huge celebration at my parents' house, and they live in a very small town. So it was nice to see other people enjoying the fireworks as well. But
oh, that's good.
I shot off a ton of stuff.
Okay. All right. But it wasn't like, you know, nothing with light, just like banging. An explosion.
Oh, no, lots of explosions in the air, lots of lights and lots of twinkly things. And yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Oh, fun. Yeah. Well, the other thing we're talking about today, besides movies, our moms, fireworks, is what is on our clients' mind during these really challenging times. And I thought I'd give a peek behind the curtain in terms of what we're talking about. I mean, obviously, what's dominating the headlines continues to be the virus.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically right now, it's with the relaxing of restrictions, the rise in positive tests and in cases, and also that hospitals are running, you know, having limitations on the amount of people that they can take. Patients from Southern California are being moved up to Northern California. So that continues to be quite worrisome, as well as the stock market's performance. Even though the stock market has had an incredible comeback from the drop in March, the returns in the second quarter, it appreciated 20%, primarily with technology contributing to the most to the gain and energy stocks the least. And it's a head scratcher, right? Because mm-hmm. this is a really tricky time. We don't know how the economy will open. And the stock market is a reflection of company performance, and companies make up the economy. So it is a head scratcher. Clients are saying, they're starting to say, yeah, I think it's great that it's recovered. Now should we sell? Now that it's gone up again. And for the year, the market is down 3%. And in a quote-unquote normal period, we wouldn't be having these discussions about should we sell if for the year the market is down 3%.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand it is enticing to sell because of where the S&P is and all of this bad news. And I have said this in previous podcasts, I'm going to say it again. If one thinks that Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, Google, Facebook, Berkshire Hathaway, Johnson & Johnson, Visa, Procter & Gamble, et cetera, if they think those are all going to go bankrupt as a result of the virus, plus the 490 other companies mm-hmm. that are represented here, then perhaps. But if one is saying, if anything, if it goes down, maybe I want to see where I can add at that time to this and take advantage of it. We've talked a lot about why the drive to time the market is so strong. It's typically fear and anxiety about either missing out or losing out.
Yep.
There's a real difference between investing and gambling. We don't gamble with our clients' money. We don't say, hey, let's take a bet here, a bet that mm-hmm. the market is going to go up from here and put more chips on. We don't say, let's take a bet that it will go down and pull money out. We don't speculate about timing in and out of the market. What we might do is when the market drops, it will drop again. I don't know when. Maybe it'll be later today. Maybe it will be next week. Maybe it'll be 3 months from now. What we continue to do is look at, maybe what we do is take some of this money, as I talked about in the last podcast. You know, cash is earning basically zero. Mm-hmm. It's just not giving you anything. Bonds, they're there as ballast, but they're not growing, and they're generating, for high quality bonds, somewhere between 0.5% and 2% yield. So we might take some of that money and reallocate it when the market goes down. Would you rather buy companies like I mentioned before at a drop from these prices, or would you rather sell and sit and wait? It just doesn't make sense to me to try and time it and get back in because of exactly what happened in the second quarter, how much came back and so quickly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if somebody had done that and was still hanging out waiting because the news is still bad, they would have a very different return this year for the equity portion of their portfolio than down 3%. Perhaps, you know, some of those companies like I talked about, maybe Visa is not generating as much profitability as it was a year ago because we're not all out spending at restaurants and ball games and all of those things we love to do. However, we are using Visa and MasterCard is also in the S&P 500 up there for our Amazon purchases, for things we're buying online.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I think to transition a little bit, the financial services industry, so much advertising is on about the portfolio. It's about portfolio modeling, allocation, and it's very little on proactive financial planning. They will use the words financial planning, but it's what do they do? As we talked about also in an earlier podcast with my associate Eric, most of the planning that's done is really to get a sense of where a client's assets are so that they can bring them under management.
Mm-hmm.
And planning, in my mind, the reason it doesn't get addressed very much in media attention or commercials, et cetera, marketing, is because when it's done correctly, in my opinion, it's so personalized, it's not as easy to replicate as a portfolio model.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a lot of time. It takes one-on-one attention. It's detailed. It typically requires tracking a lot of information about insurance, whether that's long-term care, disability, auto, home, umbrella, et cetera, mm-hmm. for, you know, the others, for one or more homes, more vehicles, your child starting to drive. I mean, that's just one area, as well as how your cash flow is going, your taxes, your estate planning. And the fees associated with portfolio management are typically based on a percent of assets fee that can be really hard for consumers to ferret out. And I'll ask the listener, I've asked potential clients this too, but I'll ask the listener whose portfolio is being managed, if you can say how much you're paying for the service of management. And I know there'll be people saying, I'm paying too much, but I would ask you really, how much are you paying? Is it made clear to you in billing or portfolio statements that you receive? And I do ask this because so many prospective clients don't know. Mm-hmm. And the companies that we're talking about, the people that they may be working with can be very good, knowledgeable people, but, and the clients as well, they're smart, but it's in the industry's best interest to keep fees very oblique. And the media does highlight that, which is fair, but it doesn't address the services like our firm offers very well in its coverage. So for better or worse, we are upfront about our fees, and we do this for several reasons. The first is we're fiduciaries. We are held to a fiduciary standard, which is not an across-the-board industry standard. Mm-hmm. In fact, there was legislation to make it an across-the-board industry standard, but this was eliminated with the coming in of the new administration in 2016, 2017. And so what the heck is a fiduciary standard? And it's a standard that says we must do what is in our client's best interest, period. So to me, it's in our client's best interest to know what the fees are that they're paying. And the media talks a lot about the percent fees being charged and typically measures the benefit by performance. Are you making up enough in return to warrant a fee at all? Whether it's for a manager, whether it's, you know, should you just go into portfolio models that are based on indices, which are even less expensive, and so you can only need to pay this much. Well, we don't gauge success here only by investment performance. Of course, investment performance is critical, but we also work hard to see how well a client's allocation is tuned with their financial plan in meeting the goals of the client. And again, that's a word, it's a thing that's overused. Your goals, your goals, your goals. I know it's always in the ads. However, it is really critical because each client, each woman is different and similar in some ways. Goals, when I'm working with women in transition, the goals often involve words like trust, confidence, clarity, reliance, understanding, listening, ease, perspective, options. And it's not as easy to peg attainment of confidence in one's financial situation, awareness of options, understanding of those options and what they mean in terms of choices for the future, perspective on what's going on, the ease with which one addresses one's personal finances, the trust one has in one's plan and one's goals. It's not as easy to peg those to a mm-hmm. number. But a 2016 Vanguard study showed that active engagement by an advisor can increase performance by up to 3%.
What does that mean?
And I'm just going to pause on that because for some reason that hasn't taken the world by storm. Mm-hmm. But it is really true. It means that there's the performance of a portfolio, but all the different ways that an advisor who's actively engaged with their client can help them attain that performance level. And one of the biggest potential contributions was in the area of behavioral coaching.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And, you know, you're a coach. I love the word coach. I engage a lot of other individuals in my practice and in my personal life with special skills and experience because I value leveraging their knowledge and expertise. It allows me to focus on what is my passion, career-wise or in my personal life. So career-wise, so that I can provide the financial planning, the attention, the forethought that is needed to do effective portfolio management integrated in one's plan. There's not enough hours in the day to say, okay, let me become specialized in employee team development. Let me become specialized in California human resources law, so I'm doing it correctly. Let me become specialized in all our compliance regulations. Let me go out, even with the portfolios. I use a lot of resources with our portfolios because I think that's the best thing for our clients, that they have the best minds on it, and then we're integrating that information into their plan.
Yeah. Esther, you mentioned behavioral coaching, and we've talked about behavioral finance on this on a previous podcast. Is that what you're alluding to then?
It is aligned with behavioral finance, because behavioral finance is a lot about the part of the mind that where investing evokes a lot of emotion, and their decisions are made from an emotional place. As I mentioned earlier, you know, fear of missing out, our fear of not being safe. Our mind is very, or our brain actually, is very geared to keeping us safe. And investing evokes a lot of emotion. And the advisor coaching acts as an emotional, if you will, circuit breaker, where we interfere in a client's desire, whether it is to chase returns, which is not what is current right now, or head for the hills during scary times, which is more what the issue is. And it's not like we say, you know, it's very important, as I noted earlier in the goals, to listen. Communication is about listening and engage. But a key way is always honing back to a client's plan. It's so important for me to know where a client is. What's going on in their life? How are they addressing today? Maybe it's exactly the same as when we talked last, but I don't know that. So we are proactively in touch with our clients to confirm where they are and then remind them of how we got to the portfolio allocation where we, how we are. Mm-hmm. And we are really seeking this complete picture to do our best. And here are some things that other areas other than the portfolio, which can really affect one's portfolio, but they don't, that's not the initial factor here, that these are the different things we're talking about with our clients. Recently, a retiree who's done a great job saving, and this is a relatively new client, they've done a great job saving. They did buy and hold through ups and downs and basically, you know, made good choices. And now in his early 70s, he needs to consider his next 10 years of life, if not 20 and 30, because we typically plan people to live to 100. Mm-hmm. But in my experience, the years between 70 and really 80, 85 are key. They're key to having a whole other infusion about life and experience of life and really wanting to be engaged. And it requires moving from accumulation of these assets to decumulation. And a planned approach, they have positions that they've held for many, many years that will cost taxes to sell, but a planned approach can save taxes. This happens to be a year where, even though they're required to make a minimum distribution from their IRA, typically, because of the COVID, that's been waived completely. Mm-hmm. One does not need to take their IRA required minimum distribution, and it's not like they are deferring it and need to take two in 2021, it's gone. So it's a great opportunity to say, what can I do in my portfolio where otherwise I would have had to pay tax? Well, maybe I'll pay tax, but do it in the way I want to do it. So we're looking at addressing that. And a planned approach can give peace of mind. It allows one to focus on the fun pursuits or the engaging pursuits. And it provides this person with a perspective on their asset longevity. And what we're looking at also is consolidating the investments. I see this quite often where, again, it's not like, oh, you've done a terrible job with investing and you need our help. It's not that. But the investments mechanically are not efficient. They are here, there, and everywhere. And it makes it very hard to track against goals. We're talking about insurance and where somebody is underinsured. Where they are sort of going along, and nobody likes to talk about insurance. I don't like insurance either, but it is so critical. If something were to happen and one is underinsured, boy, does that blow up a otherwise strong plan. So we absolutely are proactive about that. And then for this particular person, their estate planning, and they are not unique, their estate plan is not complete. And they have a real desire. They actually are not too concerned. They're like, well, okay, if I die and it goes to the government, I'll be dead, whatever. However, when we talked and asked, well, is there something, you know, you're so smart, you're so engaged in different pursuits. Is there somewhere else you'd like to allocate your funds? And they said, well, yeah, I'm really excited about supporting education of women in third world countries. Well, perfect. How about we put something in place now, whether you gift it now, that's something that we can do with low basis stock too. Gift it now where you can see it. We probably won't be doing it now because they have some other things coming up, but possibly before they pass away, or at least put it in place for then. Those are things that COVID or no COVID, these are critical issues. Another younger worker who's highly compensated and protected right now to some degree by her high income is in a place of being frozen. The money is just accumulating and accumulating and accumulating. Because where does one invest right now? One, it's very hard to say, oh, do I, you know, contribute? Do I put money in the market? It just doesn't feel quote unquote safe to do that. And so this feels safer, but I know it's kind of ridiculous because I am so young. So when the planning work we've done, because we're not out to just say, okay, you know, just let us invest it. Let's see how low your return can be without, and have you still meet your goals? So for example, if we run a plan and we, you know, we say, oh, you can achieve your goals, but you have to get 12% return on your money. Well, that's not realistic. Mm-hmm. And so we typically use a conservative, and then we even brought it down more. But even then, you know, I'd say projecting returns of between 3% and 4% pre-tax, that was about as low as it could go. And if we're looking at a bond portfolio of a traditional bond portfolio being at around, you know, 0.5% to 2% with no growth, that's not going to do it. So yeah. Then this allows for a discussion of allocation and thoughtful implementation. Our brains are so black and white. It's like either all or nothing. And it's like, no, this is how we're going to plan to implement this. Mm. We are also talking to a recent widower who is addressing Social Security and needs the cash flow. But before we jump in to say, okay, just, you know, flip the switch, there are some choices there. And we're talking with him about how to make the best choice based on his wife's earning history and his and their ages. Another, a recently laid off C-level client needs health insurance planning. What's the best way to integrate both from the perspective of COBRA, medical, dental, and Medicare. And we're navigating that for the most efficient and cost-effective planning going forward. And also, one can adjust one's Medicare premiums because they're based on your taxable income from two tax years ago. And when you're laid off, your income is lower. So we're proactively addressing that. And finally, discussing with the patriarch of a family. And some of these, you know, that I'm talking about, they're not new clients, they're long-term clients. And a patriarch of a family that I've worked with very closely for decades. And we're circling back. How does he want to provide for his children and grandchildren who have various needs? And we're talking about the options available. How do we talk about it with the family? How do we address it so he can feel as best as possible about how his asset base will be addressed upon his passing and during his remaining years, which I hope will be many, many. But I could go on, but there is so much that we do for our clients that does not translate well to a percent of portfolio assets.
Yeah.
So, and we do a lot around these conversations, which is why our fees are not solely based on percent assets under management. We do a very small portion on that and then some, a flat fee that is very clear. And we believe that in our philosophy here, that helps our clients have the full rounded holistic picture that will help them through these really challenging times. We don't have crystal balls, but long-term markets are predictably reliable, and financial plans have shown me through all the other crises I've been through financially to be the key to navigating these times and come out on the other side intact. So for those listening, we are here, we're available, we're healthy, enthusiastically supporting our client success in all personal and financial areas.
Yeah. And this is what I love about the podcast is that you get to convey this information where a commercial that everybody has seen, you know, a million times where two, you know, older people are sitting in separate bathtubs, clinking champagne glasses and all that. They're just trying to sell a future that, you know, oh, look, they're wealthy enough to be able to do that. That's what they're trying to sell quickly in 30 seconds, you know, to get people to call in and use their services, where, again, it doesn't paint a full picture of all the different things, positive and negative, that happens in real people's lives, right? I don't know those people right. in the bathtubs. I don't think I want to know those people in the bathtubs. I'm just saying that I want to know that my parents are going to be able to live the life that they want to. I want to know that I'm going to be able to leave things to my kids or grandkids if I choose to, or a charity. Like, you know, it's beautiful, that gentleman that wants to, you know, educate women in third world countries. We need more of those types of people to step up to the plate and say, hey, I want to support other people and the goals and dreams that they have. And I really want to be a part of that. So I love the fact that you help clients navigate through all those things, asking the deep questions and just listening. So Esther, again, great podcast today. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Eric. Have a great rest of your day. And I will also say, before I just sign off like that, if people need to get in touch with us, probably the best is our website, gatespassadvisors.com. There's a contact us button. And there is ongoing information there, whether it's about markets, if you want to be in our newsletter, we have short videos about what's going on in the current market environment with behavioral finance, lots of content there. So please feel free to reach out. Always happy to talk with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I encourage everybody listening, if you're not working with an advisor or you're working with an advisor who doesn't talk to you like Esther does on these podcasts, reach out to her, have that conversation. You'll be absolutely shocked at the different things that she's going to help you figure out for yourself and the things that she's going to help walk beside you with. So again, Esther, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Eric. Talk to you soon.
You bet. And last thank you goes to you, the listening audience. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the Women in Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Esther comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. Again, thank you for listening today. For everyone at Gates Pass Advisors, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Women and Wealth podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you receive notifications of new podcasts as they become available. Check out the website at www.gatespassadvisors.com for more information. This content is developed from sources believed to be providing accurate information. The information in this material is not intended as tax or legal advice. Please consult legal or tax professionals for specific information regarding your individual situation. The opinions expressed and material provided are for general information and should not be considered a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security.